and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The heat is on. Weather alerts are up across the country. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson is keeping tabs on temperatures.
More than 60 million people impacted, and that includes places like Kansas City, St. Louis, down to Memphis, just to name a few. Your feels like temperatures in all of those cities, 105 to 110 degrees today.
Flash flooding's been the problem elsewhere. A woman in Kansas City was rescued after the Indian Creek rose more than 10 feet in just 2 hours. Two Americans, a Wells Fargo banker and a U.S. Patent and Trademark Office employee, have been barred from leaving China. CBS's Anna Corrin from Hong Kong.
The State Department issued a statement saying that it has no higher priority than the safety and security of American citizens. It went on to say that due to the privacy and other considerations, we have no further comment. But we are also getting word from the U.S. Embassy in Beijing. A spokesperson there said that they had raised concern with Chinese authorities about the impact that these arbitrary exit bans have on our bilateral relations and urged them to immediately allow impacted U.S. citizens to return home.
Former Louisville, Kentucky police officer Brett Hankinson has been sentenced to nearly 3 years in prison in the botched drug raid that killed Breonna Taylor and helped spark the Black Lives Matter movement 5 years ago. CBS's Nicole Valdez was in the courtroom.
Prosecutors say Hankinson violated the department's use of force policy when he blindly fired 10 shots into her home without a clear target. Last week, the Department of Justice recommended the judge sentence Hankinson to serve just 1 day in prison. Hankinson is the only officer who's been convicted for firing his weapon during the botched no-knock raid.
Tributes to Theo Huxtable.
Add $7,000 for books and lab fees.
Lab fees? I was going to be a chemistry major.
Malcolm Jamal Warner, who played Bill Cosby's only son on The Cosby Show, drowned in Costa Rica. Cosby spoke by phone with CBS's Jerika Duncan.
Malcolm was always embracing relationships with everybody he worked with.
Malcolm Jamal Warner was 54. Stephen Colbert back on The Late Show for the first time since he announced CBS was canceling his nighttime talker come May.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. Cancel culture has gone too far.
There were lots of familiar faces in the audience. Jimmy Fallon, John Oliver, Jon Stewart, Seth Meyers, and Adam Sandler all stopped by for a parody of the Coldplay Kiss Cam scandal. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A shutout in Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers with a 6-0 shutout win over the Seattle Mariners. The crew held hitless until the top of the sixth when Joey Ortiz got on base, then slid into home plate. FanDuel Wisconsin.
Contreras, a high fly into right. Ortiz back to tag. Canzone under it, makes the catch. Here's the throw home. Ortiz slides. He's safe. 1-0 Brewers on the sac fly by Contreras.
Ortiz kicking off a four-run inning. Pat Murphy.
Then Terang, and then Contreras sack, and then Yelly base hit, and then Churio missile, and Collins walk. I mean, that's seven quality at-bats in a row. That's what you have to do. You got to stack them. That's how you get crooked numbers, if you stack them. And yeah.
So for now, Milwaukee has the best win-loss record in baseball and one game ahead of the Cubs. They lost 12-4 to the Royals at Wrigley Field. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be warm and muggy here the next couple of days. Partly cloudy today, 86 with a slight chance of thunderstorms. Tonight, thunderstorms likely with a low dropping to 73. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, scattered thunderstorms. It's going to be muggy with a heat index approaching 100 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by State Senator Kristen Dasler-Alfheim. We talk biennial budget, the uncertainty over Governor Evers' second run, and how progressives and Democrats move forward in unity here in Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks outside the box and hates cliches, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. I am Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on this Monday night as we kick off Act Two here. If you missed the first hour, my guest and is still my guest, John Roach, is here. We talked about his movie, A Road at Night, a great watch. We'll get back into that in just a second. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite junk food? It is National Junk Food Day, and we are asking people to tell us, share with us, the food you cannot say no to, even though you know that you should. We've had some great answers. So be part of the show and chime in and let us know what your favorite junk food is. I will be here in Madison all week, folks, live from Civic Media headquarters here. Conrad is holding down the fort back in Green Bay. And in the second hour here, in just a few minutes, we'll have Rocker from Max Inc. Radio, the award-winning Max Inc. Radio, will be here in studio. We'll be talking about Atwood Fest, which takes place this weekend on the East Side. Good food, great music, and some cool East Side vibes. We'll talk to Rocker in just a bit. Right now, I'm excited to get back into my interview here with John Roach. He's a producer, a writer, and a director. His film, A Road at Night, we just talked at length about, although not enough about. And we're going to jump into some talk about a film he wrote called The Straight Story. He co-wrote it with Mary Sweeney, and David Lynch directed it. So what a thrill that must have been, John.
It was tremendous. You know, I always say the adage is be nice to the girl who sits next to you at Catholic grade school, because it, you know, in the very early goings, Mary was the moving force, you know?
Yeah.
And as someone who, you know, wrote a lot, to write a screenplay with an editor, that is a really good idea. Because Mary had the understanding of structure. I mean, she's a good writer too, but she had the understanding of structure and flow and when to let it breathe. And, you know, we wrote the first draft, the first scene outline, the first draft in Mary and David's compound in the Hollywood Hills. And I would get up in the morning. And, you know, I was on Midwest time, and I get up early in the Midwest. So right. I was up at 4:30 having coffee at the Sunset Marquee while all the vampires were coming in off of Sunset. And then I'd get up to Mary's place, you know, at 8-ish, I don't know. And then we would write all day. And the great thing about writing in David Lynch's artistic compound is there's always good coffee available. And, you know, we were just jamming on coffee. And I think we wrote for 8 days straight. And we did a survey of Iowa prior to that. We had notes and research and all. And, and it was just, you know, it was as great an artistic experience as you could have as some guy from Wisconsin. You know, we premiered at Cannes. You know, my wife and I walked up the red steps.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was a joy to, you know, it was a joy to see David work. You know, he just brought out the best in everyone, Mary and myself included.
I can't even imagine. All right, so the Straight Story, for those of you who don't know, before I knew it was about a person named Straight, I used to call it the Straight Story or the Straight Story. Once I knew it was about Richard Farnsworth character, Alvin Straight, it's the Straight Story.
Right, so, that is the correct pronunciation.
Yeah, so it's this great movie that was shot in Iowa and Wisconsin around 1999. If you haven't seen it, Richard Farnsworth plays the lead actor who drives a tractor from Iowa, because he doesn't have a driver's license, to Wisconsin to visit his ailing brother. Just this movie, he was Oscar nominated.
He was nominated for Best Actor.
Yeah.
He lost to Kevin Spacey for American Beauty.
God, but people would love a redo on that one. God.
Yeah. He did win Best Actor for the Independent Spirit Awards, though, so okay. That was nice.
And he was nominated for the Golden Globes, too, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah,
So this movie is packed with charm and heart and great acting. Sissy Spacek is in it. Harry Dean Stanton, Chris Farley's brothers.
Yeah,
I didn't
Kevin
catch that
and Johnny,
the first time. Yeah. I was like, Farley, wait a minute. So this is just such a fun movie, and I just rewatched it over the weekend. It totally holds up. Did David Lynch commission you guys to write this, or was it your idea that you took
Mary
to him?
No, Mary and I wrote it on spec. Mary had been editing in Hollywood for, you know, over a decade, I think. She was an assistant editor on Warren Beatty's Reds. She was an assistant editor on Blue Velvet and said, hey, I'm working on this film with this guy named David Lynch, and hold on to your hat. And then she became an editor on Twin Peaks. At the same time, I was producing in Chicago and eventually developed my own. I was at ABC and CBS in Chicago and eventually did specials for the CBS-owned stations, and then developed some of my own programming for syndication, of which one of them was one you like, the Sports Writers on TV. And Mary came to visit me when I was doing broadcast work, you know, and she was going, wow, everything happens really fast here compared to a movie.
Yeah.
But Mary called me. Being an editor can be tedious work. And I think Mary wanted, I know she wanted a broader stance. She wanted a broader skill set. So she said, do you want to write a screenplay with me? And I said, of course. Yeah, why not? And I had dabbled in it prior.
But you're this producer of TV in Chicago.
Right.
Were you guys that good of friends where she just knew you'd be a sharp writer in a totally different medium?
Well,
or
we
had
were
you
the,
some of
you
that?
Know, we, it was strange because we were friends, you know, in a time where, you know, boys and girls didn't always have friendships.
Yeah.
You know, the guys ran. But also our families were friends for generations.
Okay.
So we, you know, my dad knew her dad, and I played ball with her brothers in high school. So, you know what? We're both townies. We were both townies in Madison. And again, you know, West Side Irish Catholic, everyone knew each other, you know?
Okay.
And so, and I do think we were friends, as it turned out, because we both went into a similar field later in our lives, you know, even though it's kind of a high school jock, I was also in the high school plays, you know, I always had that artistic side going on. So anyhow, so she said, do you want to write a screenplay? I said, sure. I said, what are we going to write it about? And she goes, let's let it simmer. And I may be wrong, but I think within 3 weeks she faxed me. This was during the era of fax. The internet was just starting to get its legs underneath it. This story in the Washington Post, New York Times, about this old man riding his lawnmower across Iowa to see his brother. And I drove out to his end point, you know, and just kind of soaked up the vibes. And I said, Mary, yeah. And both Mary and I, you know, when you grew up in Wisconsin, when we did, you're literally 5 minutes from a farm field.
Right.
And so that rural lifestyle and those rural people, Mary's dad, Vince, was one of three or four Irish brothers who had grew up on a farm in Oregon, the city of Oregon outside of Madison.
Okay.
And they were Irish farm boys. So, and I worked on farms baling hay to get in shape for high school football for 3 summers out in Barneveld for the good Bunbury family. So, this was the people we were writing about were not strangers to us all. And we talked about our dads a lot because Alvin was a man of another generation. But it was the generation from whence our fathers came.
John Roach is my guest. He is the co-writer of The Straight Story that he wrote with his pal Mary Sweeney, very talented editor, producer, and writer, and was directed by David Lynch. It's a must-see, folks. If you know, everybody is looking for content to watch, and this film came out in 99. It holds up. I just watched it. Two things I have that really I just love about the film, and it's one of a younger person that Alvin encounters on his journey from Iowa to Wisconsin on a John Deere tractor. Says
riding more.
Riding more. Yes. He says, what's the worst thing about being old? And Alvin, I'm paraphrasing, says that I can remember when I was young.
The worst thing about getting old is remembering when you were young.
That is so
resonant. And, you know, I handed that line, and I used to, I have a cabin up in the North Woods,
yeah,
outside of Minocqua. And I had this vivid dream. I mean, you know, we both wrote, you know, we both wrote the screenplay, but I remember the feeling of that line. I never sleep anywhere other than in a bed. I don't sleep on planes. I don't sleep in cars, you know, but somehow when we built this little cabin up north, we had this green leather chair. We have no TV, you know, we have quiet music and books. And I would sometimes fall asleep in that chair, not at bedtime. And I would have these, you know, moments where I was kind of dreaming and kind of awake. And I remember having one dream where all of a sudden I really felt like I was 18 years old again. And when I woke up, you know, I was 48 and I felt sad about that.
Yeah.
And I just remember that feeling, you know, right. To remember when my legs worked.
I can't go out and just run around for no reason.
I remember when I would run across a football field and feel like I was flying.
Yeah.
Right. And now, you know, getting out of a chair is a big ass deal.
You're going to pay the price. The other thing, there's another great scene too, which is really the gist of what Alvin's been dealing with his whole adult life since World War II, because he's a veteran in the film, is the story he tells another veteran at the bar. And I don't want to spoil it.
Right.
But what a beautiful bit of acting by Richard Farnsworth. Oh. And the story came out of nowhere. So I tip of my hat for you guys, because it
Thank
all
you.
Starts with the script. As great as David Lynch was, and he was phenomenal.
Unbelievable. God rest his soul.
Yes.
As they say, as the Catholics would say, may perpetual light shine upon him.
But you can't, I don't care how great a director is or a producer or an actor. I mean, an actor to some degree that can improv a show and be entertaining,
but
it all starts with the script, and you guys crushed it.
Okay, so I would argue, aside from the Academy Award nomination for Richard, and, you know, Mary and I got nominated for Best First Screenplay, and we lost to Charlie, whatever his name is, who wrote Being John Malkovich, Charlie Kaufman.
Yeah.
Which, so that's a worthy opponent,
wow,
right?
Wow, yeah, no kidding.
And I think the most powerful thing for me, and I knew David. I mean, I was, you know, more than just an acquaintance with him, because he and Mary would summer in Wisconsin. I'd take him golfing.
So were they married? Or just
they were
significant others?
Yeah, significant others.
For
and
how
they had
long?
A child together, Riley.
Oh, okay.
For well over a decade.
No kidding.
But the thing that I feel, and I said this to Mary, I think the most important thing or most powerful thing we did through that whole thing is we wrote a screenplay that turned David Lynch's head. And by the way, looking at that screenplay and that subject matter, people have to accept this as truth, because neither Mary nor I thought Dave would have anything to do with this project.
Yeah, right.
At all. It was, I sometimes think that Mary liked the project because it was unlike the stuff she'd been doing with David.
Right.
Right? And it couldn't have been simpler. And David said, you know, the emotion is what appealed to him, you know, and it's, you have to remember too, David grew up close to the country. You know, he grew up in Montana. He was an Eagle Scout. He went to went to art school in Philadelphia and
right.
was amazed by how freaked out he was by that urban environment. But David was not, and look where Twin Peaks is set, you know, in a,
yeah.
you know, a mountain town in the Northwest. So that's a milieu that he was not uncomfortable with, right? I mean, right. I think that spoke to him in his youth.
It's interesting because Twin Peaks, we just have about a minute left, unfortunately,
sure.
John, but it's so different because the straight story is shot kind of like an indie film. And you talk about an editor letting it breathe.
Oh.
The whole movie breathes.
Yeah.
It's like one deep breath. It's beautiful. But Twin Peaks is every shot. It's like a painting.
Yeah.
They're so different. Like, that's a testament to David Lynch.
Also, Angelo Badalamenti's score for The Straight Story is a thing of beauty. It is just so beautiful.
All right, we're going to have to save our sports writers talk for next time. There's always something we kick down the road.
We'll talk about it next time and we'll light up some cigars.
I know. My kindred spirit here, John Roach. Thank you, sir. Always
hey,
fun.
Pete,
we'll do it again.
Great seeing you, and let's have a beer.
Did my movie line make the poster?
Yes.
Yes. All right. I'm very excited about that. All right. John Roach, he'll be back, folks. I almost said round of applause, but it's just Rocker here. And even if he clapped for you, we wouldn't hear him through the glass. But and keep us posted about A Road at Night, too.
We'll do
all right,
for
fantastic.
Sure.
Fantastic. Rocker is coming up next, folks. We're going to talk Atwood Fest. Don't go anywhere and send us your texts. It's Pete Schwalbe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. The U.S. Department of Justice sent letters to 12 secretaries of state requesting their complete voter records as part of President Trump's executive order on elections. The reason for the request isn't completely clear, nor is the legality of such a request, which may violate the privacy and free speech rights of U.S. citizens. Back in May, we reported that DOJ requested records on Colorado's 4.65 million registered voters. To date, similar letters have been received by Alaska, Arizona, Florida, Minnesota, Nevada, New Hampshire, New York, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Wisconsin. An email sent to Rhode Island officials asked to collect, quote, voting information as part of the department's efforts to implement President Trump's executive order preserving and protecting the integrity of American elections, unquote. It goes on to request a discussion on sharing information to find illegally registered voters, fraudulent voters, and enforcement of federal law. New Hampshire Secretary of State declined, citing state statute keeping voter rolls, quote, private and confidential. In addition to the Herculean logistics of such a request, Loyola Marymount Law School's Justin Levitt writes that such requests may not be legal under the Privacy Act of 1974, prohibiting the federal government from obtaining information on free speech activities, including voting and other personal information. We've linked the DOJ letters at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Jamming through a Monday night here, live from downtown Madison. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite junk food? It's National Junk Food Day. Anna from Madison, I wish I had seen this, from the 608, says, John Roach is always a great guest. I miss his back page column he wrote for Madison Magazine for many years. Thank you, Anna. Thank you for listening. And yeah, John is a multi-talented guy, to say the least. John Murray in Madison says, Neapolitan ice cream sandwiches, four at a time. Okay, four in a row. Wrappers are always a hassle. It's like I'm reading my own text here. I totally agree with you, John. You get the cookie part on your fingers and you can't get the wrapper off, but they are delicious. John says, shredded paper teas. Well done. Our pal Chris Casper says, Ripple chips and cottage cheese. That is not one I was expecting to hear. Cottage cheese. Cottage cheese actually is kind of good for you, right? I don't know. Thank you, Chris. And Steady Eddie from the 608 says, Pete, I saw the straight story when it first came out. Thanks and congratulations to John Roach and all who were involved in making it. Favorite junk food, pint of vanilla ice cream with a side of potato chips. Conrad, have you ever heard of that?
You know, I've heard more of like ice cream with French fries.
Yes, I've heard of that too. I don't get the potato chip thing is weird.
I guess that's kind of the same thing, just not potato-y as
French fries. How you like your potato, I guess.
Yeah.
Monica from Mount Horeb says, I believe you're on State Street. Anytime I go to the Overture Center, I go to Kilwin's across the street and get a sea salt caramel covered Oreo. You might be tempted to sell a family member for them. They're delicious. Monica, I don't know if that means you're not close with your family or they're just that good, but either way. Thank you for the text. Rosemary from Eleva. Hey, Rocker, do you know how to say this? Eleva? Oliva? That sound familiar?
No.
Elva?
Elvium?
Elvia. Elva. Oliva. Eleva. I don't know. She says, Pete, about 10 miles east of Hayward off Highway 77 is a Farnsworth Lake and Farnsworth Road or Drive. Coincidence? Your movie? I don't, that's a great question. And again, I wish I would have seen that when John was here. We could have asked John that, but, and then earlier we saw we got a text from, I didn't want to miss this one. Helen from Wanakee says, we were talking about wieners before and how people refer to hot dogs as wieners. She says, old story about two nuns coming here from their old country. They stopped in New York and wanted to get some street food. So they got two hot dogs. The one opened hers and said, sister, sister, check out what part of the dog you got. Conrad, can we read that on the radio? Seemed a little obscene. Thank you for the text. All right. It is my pleasure now. We're going to pivot to some music talk here. There's this great festival here in Madison every year, the Atwood Music Festival. And I have the creator and the organizer and the all things Atwood Music Festival here in the studio. Rocker joins me live in studio. Hey, buddy, how are you?
What's happening, Pete? Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here, dude.
Well, let me just start, though, by saying that I'm one of the organizers. There are a whole bunch of
people village,
who put that on, right? But my main thing is that I'm from the stages back. So stages, artists, booking, stage management, MC, that's me.
It's a ton of work, however you look at it, but
it is.
To you and all your compadres, just this is so exciting. So for people listening around the state that might be up for a road trip or might not be as familiar with Madison, tell us about the Atwood Music Festival.
Well, we are really fortunate this year to have been voted Madison's best music festival 2 years in a row now. And so the Atwood Summerfest, it was originally called, started up in the early 80s. And it was just a small kind of block party, close off Atwood Avenue. Yeah. And they've been doing it for a long time. And in 2000, it got rained out. And after that rain out, they missed another year. And they were kind of down and not sure what would happen with the festival. And that's the year somehow they came across me and said, hey, would you go through all these cassette tapes and listen to these bands and see which ones would be good? Goodness. So I thought, you know, sure. So and we started the rock stage there. And that eventually led to 2013 with a change of the host of the festival, the Benefactors. And I was, I think, the only person to keep going on with the festival. And now it's called Atwood Fest. And the Barrymore Theater, the Sassy Neighborhood Organization here in Madison, and then Sector 67 are nonprofits that are the benefactors of the festival. So it's a fundraiser. And we close off Atwood Avenue from Tex Tubbs in Madison on the east side, all the way down to Monty's, and there's three stages, 30 bands over 2 days.
That is incredible. Do you live in that area?
I live over more on the north side, but I'm actually a realtor with Reukert Realtors Lake Point, which is right there, right on in the middle of Atwood Fest.
I can't even keep, like, I look at the state news, I can't even believe all the stuff that goes on in Atwood. It must be almost a bummer to live there because every time you look outside, there's some festival or some cool thing happening.
Well,
it must be exhausting.
You know, there's Festiland, which is there's five Madison festivals, Orton Park, Marquette Waterfront, La Fête de Marquette, which already happened, and then Willie Street Fair and Atwood Fest. And it's just amazing in Madison that we have so many festivals. Yeah. And Atwood Fest is really, you know, just a great pure music festival. I mean, we shut down the street and there's Vendor Alley. So there's arts and crafts and food vendors galore. And then there's three stages, one in the middle, one in each end of the street. And about, I think, around 50,000 people show up for the whole weekend.
Oh, my gosh. That's incredible. Rocker is here. He's one of the co-hosts of Max Inc. Radio here on WMBX with Terry Barr, who is with us on Friday nights for Barr Band Friday Night. When we come back after the news, We're going to give you a little teaser of some of the music you can hear at this year's Atwood Fest, which is happening this weekend, correct? Saturday and Sunday?
That's right, July 26th and 27th.
Outstanding. So we'll hear some music. We'll talk about the food. It's a beautiful time, some great East Side vibes at Atwood Fest. We're going to do all of that after the news. Rocker is here in studio. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. Heat alerts are up. Feels like temps in Kansas City, St. Louis, Memphis will all soar to 105 to 110 degrees. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
The heat and humidity gives you the dangerous heat index we will see today and really through the end of the week.
A former Louisville police officer sentenced to almost 3 years in prison in Breonna Taylor's death. CBS's Nicole Valdez.
Two other Louisville police officers that were not ones that responded to the incident are still waiting for their day in court. They're accused of falsifying records that led to the search warrant for Breonna Taylor's apartment.
A federal judge asked pointed questions of a Justice Department lawyer at a hearing on the Trump administration's bid to strip billions in funding from Harvard. CBS's Katrina Kaufman.
We know that there have been talks going on behind the scenes and that this hearing, this potential ruling from the judge, both sides are hoping that it will give them leverage to reach a settlement here.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Football starts tomorrow. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, Packers training camp beginning tomorrow morning at 10:30 with the first of 11 practices open to the public. Three preseason games, followed by the 17-game regular season schedule. The Packers signing right tackle Zach Tom to a four-year deal, including a signing bonus of over $30 million, the most ever for an offensive lineman. NBA, Chris Paul will join the LA Clippers and Brooke Lopez. The Bucks had shown interest in Paul earlier this summer. Baseball, the Brewers and Mariners again tonight in Seattle. The Brewers with a 6-0 win over the Mariners last night, their 11th win in a row. How did they go from fourth place to right now the best record in baseball?
I think you got to understand that this is a bunch of people that, you know, have gotten to this point and just kept clawing away. You know, they're hungry. I'm really, really proud of them, but we got work to do to improve in every area we can. But we can at least feel like we're capable.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're in the Madison area and looking for a cool event, check out the annual Atwood Fest. This amazing music festival features three stages, great food, and great East Side vibes. Saturday, you can catch bands like Rare Element, Mama Dig Down's Brass Band, love that name, American Scarecrows, and Madison favorites VO5. Sunday features local favorites like Steely Dane, the Jeremiah Jams Band, and the Mark Hembry Bluegrass Band. Atwood Fest takes place, you guessed it, in Madison's Atwood Hood this Saturday, July 26th from noon to 10 p.m., and Sunday, the 27th, from noon to 7:30. Who doesn't love a Cinderella story, especially when it's literally a Cinderella story? Disney is in the works for a new take on the classic Rodgers and Hammerstein story of the overworked Cinderella. The new look will be told from the standpoint of the godparents. Jennifer Lopez is attached as an executive producer, but there is no cast attached yet. The original Cinderella dropped in 1957 with Julie Andrews playing the title character. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be warm and muggy here the next couple of days. Partly cloudy today, 86 with a slight chance of thunderstorms. Tonight, thunderstorms likely with a low dropping to 73. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, scattered thunderstorms. It's going to be muggy with a heat index approaching 100 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our rogue companion from last week and our friend and colleague here at Civic Media, Todd Alba, will be here to break down all the news. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, this is Adam Brody, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Gonna beat some sweet sound.
Welcome back. So funny. I was just talking about Adam Brody with my producer friend Bob on the way down to Madison today. So well picked, Conrad. What put you in an Adam Brody mood?
I felt like we haven't heard that one in a while, you know?
Yeah, no, that was a good one.
Got a shout out because he just got nominated for a show.
Yeah, for an Emmy, right?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. So great to have you with me here. We've got a half hour to go, and our pal Rocker is in studio. We're talking about Atwood Fest, this great musical festival that happens here in the Atwood neighborhood of Madison every year. It's been around since the 80s, you said, Rocker?
Yeah, since the early 80s. Geez. 82, I believe.
Okay.
And it was called Atwood Summerfest first, and now it's called Atwood Fest.
I love it. And it's such a great neighborhood, too. I love the Barrymore Theater, and there's just so much cool stuff going on there. So let's do a little preview here of what people can hear if they decide to venture out over to the east side.
Yeah, you know, let me start with saying that, you know, Atwood Fest, we've went full high tech now, and we have AI. We actually have an AI guide on our website. So tonight you're going to hear a lot of bands, a lot of dates, you know, a lot of stages and times. You're not going to really remember them, but just remember this, to go to atwoodfest.com. And at atwoodfest.com, you can click on the artificial intelligence guide and ask a question. You know,
I love that.
Like, you know, what blues bands are playing, or when is VO5 playing, or where can I find fried chicken?
You're putting AI to good use rather than making it a creepy movie thing. So that's
right.
That's,
you know, you can ask all these fact questions. Where right. can I find an AED unit? You know,
yeah.
if there's a cardiac arrest happening, right?
Jeez,
so yeah. it's by Freely, and we thank Jorge Reina. He put that together and covered that. Yeah. So I'm going to kind of just skip across some of the bands that are playing that you can hear coming up at Atwood Fest. There's some that are local, national, and you know, international touring artists. We have a little bit of everything. One band that I thought was really unique this year, opening the festival on Sunday, July 27th, on the Luther stage at noon. This is a Madison ska fusion band. They're called One Beer Please, and this is their song, Money, Money, Money.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd move around and have a ball. Money, money, money must be funny in the rich man's world. Money, money, money always sunny.
That's One Beer Please and the song Money, Money, Money. What did you call that? Fusion?
Ska.
Ska Fusion.
Ska Fusion.
I love that.
Yeah, they're really fun. I thought this is going to be a great band to like kind of open up the festival day.
Yeah.
Just with a lot of energy. One Beer Please. Later on that day, that's Sunday on the Luther Allison stage, there's also Wonder Funk, Jeremiah Jams Band from Appleton, and Dem Test Fay Band from here in Madison. We'll talk about some of that stuff later. There is another great band that is coming, Parker Barrow. They are on the Clyde Stubblefield stage at 4 p.m. on Sunday, July 27th. Now, Parker Barrow, you might remember Clyde Barrow, Bonnie Parker,
oh, yeah.
Right?
No way. Is
well, this is Megan Kane and Dylan Turner. They're the couple, right? He's the drummer. She's the lead singer, and they're originally from Birmingham, Alabama, and they're stationed in Nashville. So we brought them out last year, and they put on an amazing show. It's kind of a little country-ish and a lot of Led Zeppelin-ish and really good.
That's interesting. All right, let's hear it.
This band, you have to go see some of the YouTube videos. You'll be like, wow, these guys are incredible. This is Parker Barrow and their latest song. It's called Make It.
You said Led Zeppelin with country. I guess I get that now. I wasn't sure what to expect there.
Aren't they good?
Yeah.
I love them. And she is just a wild entertainer. They're very entertaining.
Yeah.
Great band. And let's move out to the Clyde Stubblefield stage again. This is Saturday night, right before VO5. We have a world-class 9-piece funk horn band, Fat Function. They are totally amazing. I've tried to get them at Adwood Fest for many years, and with so many guys in the band and they don't all live around here, it's tough to get them together. So this is going to be a very special show right before VO5 on the Clyde stage Saturday at 5:15 p.m. Tons of Madison All-Stars in this band. And this is from their song, I think from 2015, I want to say. This is Well Run Dry. This is Fat Function.
The name Fat Function. That's a great name.
Fat Function. They wow. are really good. It features John Shipper on trumpet. He's a world-class trumpeter from around here in Madison. And Paulie Ryan, who actually played with Garbage, played with U2 on their recordings,
wow.
and all kinds of people over at Smart Studios. A whole bunch of Al Falashi from Steely Dan. Just a great lineup of musicians.
That's the voice of Rocker. He is here to give us a preview of Atwood Fest, which he is heavily involved with, and he is the co-host of Max Inc. Radio, which you can hear Saturday nights from 6 to midnight here on WMDX if you live in the Madison area. And we're talking about Atwood Fest, which takes place this Saturday and Sunday. We talked about this next band, VO5, because they're
VO5.
Crowd favorite, and they are so much fun.
You know, I mean, I bet you there'll be 5,000-6,000 people in front of the stage on Saturday
wow.
night at 8 p.m. for VO5. You know, I love telling this story, but I was it was probably 2008, and I was Halloween and my wife and I were dressed up as Padme and Darth Rocker. And we walked into this bar up here in Madison on the square, the Frequency, and little teeny stage. And there was this huge band, and they were all dressed as angels with halos and everything. And they were playing 70s classic disco. And my wife loves to dance to that kind of music. Yeah. And we're there for a while dancing. And she's like, you have to book these guys for Atwood Summerfest. You have to put them on the rock stage. I'm like, the rock stage? Disco? What? And I put them on at noon, and people showed up to dance. And then the next year, I put them on at 2, and more people showed up to dance. And then I put them on at 5, and more people showed up, right? And pretty soon, we just had this giant crowd, this meta community experience of people dancing and laughing and having fun. Dancing in the streets is it's been amazing for the band, and they're just coming up on their 20-year anniversary now as a band. So they've been playing Atwood Fest since 2008, I believe, was the first time that we had them. And they're now the undisputed heavyweight headliners. So let's take a listen. This is VO5, one of their original songs from Dance Originality. This is I Can Feel It.
I actually don't have that song record. I don't think I have that one sent.
Oh, my goodness. Did I not give you my I Can Feel It tune? Well,
I want to tell you, though, I will vouch for what Rocker just said. VO5, I've seen them play the Wisconsin Film Festival opening night parties, and people love them.
Oh, yeah.
So go to Atwood Fest and have a great time, and definitely check out VO5.
The dancers. Well, we better have Paige Kleber. I'm pretty sure I got this
one. Do we have Paige?
Yes, we do have Paige Kleber.
Paige is going to be playing the Sugar Maple Stage noon on Sunday. Paige just turned 12 years old, right?
She's getting up there.
She's been singing the national anthem at the Badgers games, at the Bucks games. She's just really doing a lot of great stuff these days. Let's hear one of her songs. This is Paige Kleber playing Hard to Get. Sugar Maple Stage, noon on Sunday, July 27th.
She's fun. She's got great energy. 12 years old.
And she just won both the Madison Area Music Awards and the Wisconsin Area Music Industry Awards for the Rising Star.
That is unbelievable. When she was here, I was like, how do you know about all the stuff you're singing about it? This is incredible.
Isn't it incredible?
So Conrad just told us we do have the VO5 song. Do you want to do that?
Oh, let's hear it. Let's just hear it right away. We heard all about VO5. This is I Can Feel It.
All right.
This is real, and I can feel it. This is real, and I can feel it. I am alive, and I have arrived, and I can feel it. This is real, and I can feel it. This is real, and I can feel it.
All right, that was VO5, an original, which is very cool.
Yes.
Rocker is here. He is one of the hosts of Max Inc. Radio with our pal Terry Barr. You can hear them from 6 to midnight every Saturday night here on WMDX. We're talking about the Madison's Atwood Music Festival, and we'll get back into that after this very short break with our in-studio guest and my pal Rocker. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. You got the Civic Media Radio Network.
I wish every day the sun would shine. Take me to another place in my life. Everything.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger.
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This one goes out to the elder millennials. We're not as flashy as those other millennials and not as grungy as Gen X, but our music deserves another listen. Burn Before Listening features hits, deep cuts, and some authentic cringe. This is from 2000 to 2009, Burn Before Listening on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, Sundays at 9 p.m.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Smoke. Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
This is Nightlight with Peach Waba.
Great to have you with me as we hit our closing moments here. Tomorrow night on the show, we've got another great round of guests, Jordan Leon and Amy Mazzariello, owners of the Lion's Mouth Bookstore in Green Bay, will be here. And Green Bay comedian Kristen Leidy will be here to talk about a really cool event coming up. So that's tomorrow night on Nightlight with Peach Waba. Live from Madison again. Conrad, you're going to miss me by the end of the week. I know it. Yeah. You son of a... Steady Eddie, our last text of the night says, Pete, speaking of wieners and hot dogs, what did the Buddhist monk say to the New York hot dog vendor? Make me one with everything. That's Buddhism humor, rocker. Thank you, Steady. You never know what you're going to get from Steady Eddie. So thank you, sir. Thank you for all your texts. Thank you to John Roach for coming into the studio tonight. Great fun talking with John. We've got a few minutes left with my current guest here, Rocker, and my pal who is the host of, I said earlier, Max Inc. Radio, 6 to midnight on Saturday. That is now 6 to 9 p.m. So check it out. Yeah. Tune in. Great show here on WMDX. And you can also check out the podcast as well, too, at civicmedia.us. So we've got a few more minutes with Rocker. We're talking about Atwood Fest acts that you can check out this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at this great music festival here in Madison. So who should we
Well, hey, I'm going to answer your question real quick, right? Okay. Which is, what's your favorite junk food?
Yeah.
I was going to say,
did I ask you that?
Okay. Culver's fries dipped in vanilla shake.
There's another one, Conrad, with the, I don't get with
it's
the
so
dairy.
Good. It's so good, that Culver's fries,
know
especially.
People that do that. You know what's worse, though? My wife one time dipped a fry in my chocolate milkshake from Culver's, and I'm like, no, we're not doing that.
Or, you know what, in mashed potatoes and gravy.
A fry?
A fry in mashed potatoes and gravy. You wouldn't believe it.
That I could see. They're all potatoes, right? People eat fries and gravy. That one I could, that makes sense to me.
Oh, well, hey, let's get back to Atwood Fest then. And quick, go to a band that I think that people are really going to enjoy that they might not have heard of yet. Maybe up north. They're Jeremiah Jams Band. They're from Appleton.
Love that name.
They, it's him and his wife, and they jam. Two drummers. Real jam band. Let's listen to a little bit of them. This is Dancing in Your Soul, Jeremiah Jams Band from Appleton.
There's a twinkle in your eye.